Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, let's keep making room for other people in our lives. See what I'm saying there? Yeah, let's go through life looking for ways to bless the lives of others. Not like, well, God hits me upside the head, then I guess I'll help somebody. But I got things to do. Nah, let's go out. Ready, looking for it, high alert. That's what we're made for, no matter what it costs us.
When's the last time you helped someone else? Oftentimes, we love the idea of helping others, but when the rubber meets the road, we find every excuse to get out of it. In today's message, Pastor Isom wants you to know that if you want to grow closer to God and experience His love in a deeper way, be an impact for others around you. Don't just help when it's convenient for you. Go out of your way and make an effort to be a positive force in the lives of those around you, just as Jesus did. Now, here's Pastor Isom in the book of John chapter 17 as he continues his message, Needs-Based Ministry.
Jesus sees people the way God the Father sees people. And God sees us as His children. Now, we get this from our own families. We understand this. When we have our children, all of our time, all of our attention, all of our resources, all of our energy, it's all dedicated to them. Can I get an amen? If you didn't say amen, that means you aren't a parent yet. But all the parents said amen. You have no idea if you aren't a parent yet. But trust me, we are attentive to your every need. We plan our lives and we act with respect to your unique talents, your personality, your dreams, your interests. And how do we act if it's our children or grandchildren who get arrested? We don't say, No. Man, we're on the phone. We're calling our attorney. We're looking for a way to get them out. We would not be leaving them to pay the price for their actions. We would be doing everything we can to help them get back on the right track in life. Amen? Our children, they're our life. They're our heart. They're our blood. They're our family. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's like we read earlier in John 17, 20 through 23. Jesus and the Father are one, and we are one with the Father because we are united with God in Jesus Christ with one another by the Holy Spirit. You see it? Yeah. And in this particular passage, Matthew 25, all people are to be treated as children of God, as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God the Father, as members of our family, especially the least of these, especially those who are in need, especially for those for whom, well, the way society is, it's just not quite working out for them the way it was, we believe we want it to be designed to. The fact that God created us to honor our relationship with one another as children of God, it's fundamental. It's basic to living a just and righteous life in relationship to God and in relationship to each other. That's what we celebrate whenever we take communion. We are God's children. God spared no expense in doing what was necessary to restore our life and our relationship with Him. We broke it, but God paid for it because we're His kids and therefore His responsibility. Remember, Doug, we were walking back from lunch the other day and we saw these kids outside the boutique and we heard this dad, I guess the mom had gone in the shop, right? And he was like, don't y'all go in there breaking everything. You stay out here with me. And we all just cracked up because we're like, yep, we've all been there. The kid breaks it, we buy it. Well, guess what? We broke it, God bought us back. Amen? So because He loves us, He made the sacrifice because we're His. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it's for the joy set before Him, us being reunited with Him and the Father, that Jesus endured His sacrifice on the cross for our sake and for the fulfillment of God's love for us. Y'all getting this? Is it hidden? All right, I hope so, because it's hitting me. Goodness. So how do we honor God's deep love and identification with his children? How do we honor God's deep identification with human beings made in his image and able to be restored in relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ? Just how do we do this? Well, we do it by helping people who are in need. We said that already, Pastor Isom. I know. But look, here we go. Matthew 25. Let's focus in on verses 35 and 36. We're almost there. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick. You took care of me. I was in prison. You visited me. So needs-based ministry, pretty simple. If I wasn't a pastor, we'd be done already, but you're not going to let you out this soon. It's simple, but it's not easy. All right? It doesn't cost much. It just costs everything. Not much, just all that you have, available to God at any time for his use in any place with anybody as he sees fit. Ain't that something? Again, just like raising our own children, everything we have and everything and all that we are is available to them in their times of need. So we're talking the hungry, the distressed, the immigrant, the refugee, the new kid at school, the new coworker, the homeless person, the migrant worker, the sick, the prisoner, the outcast, the ex-convict, the outsiders. People who follow Jesus learn to embrace the fact that people are precious to God. Let me say that one more time. People who follow Jesus learned to embrace the fact that people, humans, men and women, humans male, humans female, are precious to God. People who follow Jesus develop a lifestyle of committing their whole life and all of their resources to loving God and honoring God's love for all people. God's been good to us. He's blessed us. But whatever Jesus puts in our hands, what do? We open our hands. And what do? We help somebody. That's it. For the sake of time now, I'm going to focus our attention on Jesus' deep identification with people who are strangers, because this blew my mind. Yeah, we're talking about the people that we don't know. See, because we don't know them, but Jesus knows them. There's no one that Jesus doesn't know, and we trust Jesus. You ever have someone that you knew that was real close to you that brought someone with them to your house? You ever have that experience? And, well, because there was someone that you know, okay, well, you know, Doug and Lisa vouched for them, so, okay, come on in. You know, if they love you, I love them, so I love you. We do that all the time. Well, Jesus knows them. Jesus loves them. So, okay, come on in. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes that followers of Jesus Christ are called to share with God's people in their needs and to pursue hospitality. I thought he was talking about strangers. Hospitality. Well, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to love this. When I hear the word hospitality, I think of being invited to someone's house and they offer me something to drink and give me a nice snack and, you know, I feel safe with them, they feel safe with me, and, you know, they're very hospitable people. They're gracious hosts. They take care of people in their home very well and, you know, but hospitality, man, that's a crazy word in the original language. Check this out. The word we translate hospitality is the Greek word xenophilia. Now, that's made up of two words, xenos, which means stranger, okay, now it's about to land it, and phileo, which means a beloved family member or friend. So xenophilia literally means that we see strangers as beloved members of our family or as close friends, people that we are open to and have a strong affection for and a love for them. So now let's look at Romans 12, 13. Share with God's people in their needs. We get that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's people, okay. And practice treating strangers as beloved family members and friends. Be attentive and generous with the people that you know. Obvious. Be attentive and generous with people that you don't know. Excuse me? I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Isom. I don't really owe strangers anything. Besides, strangers are strange. Okay? I don't know them. I don't trust them. They see the world differently than I do. They speak a different language sometimes. They have different values. They might even belong to a different political party. I know. That's the hard part. That's why this is so hardcore. God is calling us to take extra time with people and get to know them. God is calling us to go out of our way for people. To do this, we have to allow ourselves to be, catch it, interrupted and inconvenienced. Interrupted, okay. Inconvenienced, oh, I prefer not. God's calling us to recognize that this person is neither an interruption nor an inconvenience. Since we are God's people, for set apart for His good works that He prepared beforehand for us, they are the whole point of our existence with God in Christ. Can I get an amen? All right? They are beloved. They are a beloved child of God. And we have been privileged by God to express His love to them. They are a privilege. Serving them is a privilege. Being an instrument of God, a vessel of God's glory, which is at the heart of understanding what it means to be someone's slave. And the doulos, the instrument of God's glory, somewhat of the master's glory, we're privileged to be used by God in their lives. And so we have to practice treating people as though they are worthy of our time and our attention and our resources, because they are worthy. But because we are the way we are, at least I am the way I am, because you guys are awesome, I need to practice a lot. You know, we had a guy come in, Dane, one of our guys in town here, works at one of the stores on Main Street. He came into the coffee shop a couple of weeks ago, and he told us this story of how he had this customer that came in, and he wanted to return something, and he didn't have a receipt. And so Dane was just like, oh, you don't have a receipt. So the dude went ballistic, just 0 to 100 in like a split second, right? And right when he took a breath, Dane jumped in. Whoa, I'm going to help you, man. I don't want you to worry about that. But are you okay? And it wasn't saying like I would say it. Are you okay? He was saying it like, are you okay? And he said, at that moment, the dude just broke. And he just started sharing, just pouring all the stuff that he was going through. And Dane said, he listened to him for a minute. He said, you know what? I'll be getting off pretty soon. Why don't we meet down the street here afterwards? And let's just, you know, that good? And he's like, God, okay, okay. So Dane gets off and he goes. The guy was actually there. They met, they sat, they talked. That's what we're talking about. Not an inconvenience, not an interruption, a privilege. You know, that's also why I love the Friday feast. We do a Friday feast here in the winter. I love that I get to work with Lisa and Heidi and Darla and everyone feeding a hot home-cooked meal to the young folks. Yeah, look at them, man. They're just, you can tell, man, they've been rode hard and put away wet. But, man, they get that home-cooked meal. Because they stand out in the cold and the wind all day just so people can take a ride up the mountain and slide back down it. And it's brutal, man. It's a brutal job. But they're young, so it's cool. But I'll tell you what, I especially love it because Richard's wife, Susan, she makes cookies every feast. And even though she's gluten-free, she makes good cookies. And I love that part. But I love it. You know, I also love that our church pays for all the supplies in our coffee shop, the well downstairs, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Anyway, I love that. Okay, I love that we can provide a great cup of specialty coffee drinks, 100% free to anyone who comes in the door. I love that 100% of the cash donations that come into the well are able to be used to provide clean drinking water for people throughout the developing world. Why? Because the members of our church are so generous in their giving to the community, and then we give the community an opportunity to give around the world. I love you guys telling me that you're bringing your neighbor or some family members that are visitors up to the mountaintop service or here to church. I love that. I love that so many have meaningful conversations with people walking around town on the gondola. I love that you take the opportunities in your various civic and social organizations that you're members of, that you're not just there for what you get out of it, but that you're there like undercover for Jesus. I love that. God's using us in our community. So how do we treat strangers as beloved family members? Well, we imitate what God did when he blessed humans in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. So there's four ways that we imitate God. Number one, we take the first step. Right, in Genesis 1, 28, God blessed them and said to them. So we make ourselves known to them. We introduce ourselves or we acknowledge their presence first. We say hello. We make eye contact. We risk the pain of being rejected or ignored. Because to God, they're worth our discomfort. Right? Like Jesus. And we're called to be like Jesus. So, yeah, practice. Number two, we listen to them. Genesis 1, 28, the rest of that verse and through verse 29, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and rule over the living creatures. See, I've given you every fruit tree and every seed-bearing plant, right? That's all the grains, the wheat, the barley, etc., right? Giving you every seed-bearing plant for food. So we listen to them. Now, we listen in order to learn about them and to learn from them. We spend our time, we spend our energy, we pay attention to them. We learn where they are in life. We learn what they need. Do they have a sense of God's purpose for them? Do they have their basic needs met? Now, you have to understand, in all the verses that come before verse 28 in Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God purposefully, methodically put everything in place that all the living creatures on earth would need to survive and to thrive. God knew what they would need. God knows what we need. God knows what this person in front of us needs. But we don't know what other people need. I mean, we think we know. My wife tells me that a lot. You think you know. She doesn't say it like that. She's nicer than me. She's a sweetheart. I love Lori. She's awesome, I think. We have to learn where people are in life. So we have to listen. We have to stop. We have to square up. We have to point our feet toward them. We have to let them know they're worth our time. We have to take the time to listen to them. Number three, we respond with wisdom. What does that mean? That just means we honor what we learn about them and how much God loves them. We've listened to them, and hopefully we've been spending our time listening to God. What does that mean? That means we've been in God's word. We know what his word says. We know what he intends life to be about. We know what we're here for. We know how much he loves people. We know the extents that he goes to for people. We know how precious they are. We know that not only do they need us, but we need them. We know this, that we're dependent upon God, but we are interdependent in relationship with each other. We can't afford for them not to discover and develop and grow in what God has put in them to shine through, because we need them and the world needs them. And so we respond with wisdom. We sit with them. We walk alongside them. We communicate God's love and faithfulness to them, right? We pray with them or for them, because sometimes they don't want you to pray with them. You can tell. You get that vibe. You know, like, okay, I'll just keep it to myself. I'll be praying for them. We ask for the counsel, you know, we ask for counsel from trusted leaders and trustworthy members of our local congregation. We're not in this alone. Again, we work together. We're members of the body of Christ. We're members of the family of God. It's a family enterprise. It's a family business. There's no sole proprietorship here. All right? We make a plan to serve them, and we follow through on that plan. We share our God-given resources and wisdom with them in order to help them discover and fulfill God's purpose for their existence. We don't necessarily, it's just like with our kids, right? We don't necessarily always give what they want. Why are you crying at 10:30 at night? I want ice cream. You ain't getting no ice cream at 10:30 at night, man. I love you, and you don't get ice cream just because you want it. Now go to sleep. Well, I'm just going to cry all night. All right, I give him 15 minutes. He's going to cry himself. And sure enough, next morning they don't remember they wanted ice cream. See what I'm saying? Yeah, it's wisdom. And this is a fun one. We want to consider how there's other people in our congregation, our faith community, because sometimes we know people in other churches. That's cool. Our community at large, how they can help us bless others. Amen? And then number four, it's as a way of life. It's as a lifestyle. We do those things. We take the first step. We listen to people. We respond with wisdom. And this is what we do. This is just how we are. This is the habit of life. This is what we become known for. It's our lifestyle, you know? Man, God loves us so much. God loves the people who do not yet know him or do not yet love him. God even loves the people who currently hate him. So God uses us. Get this, he uses us to introduce himself to them. Because how can they love God? I'm going to paraphrase a little here. How can they love God who they don't see if they don't experience God's love through us who they can see? Amen? God uses the visible things of creation, and we're all a part of God's creation, to reveal his invisible qualities. He uses us in that. We have that privilege of being used by God in his work, in his creation. Remember, they are strangers to us, but they're God's precious children. As much as we are called to be generous with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called in the name of Jesus to be generous, to see and to treat strangers as beloved members of our own families. That's why we practice and encourage needs-based ministry at the Alpine Chapel. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, let's keep making room for other people in our lives. See what I'm saying there? Yeah, let's go through life looking for ways to bless the lives of others. Not like, well, God hits me upside the head, then I guess I'll help somebody. But I got things to do. Nah, let's go out. Ready, looking for it, high alert. That's what we're made for. No matter what it costs us in time, energy, attention, or treasure. So wherever you call home as a follower of Jesus Christ, thank God for all that he has given you. Thank God for it. Thank God for your people. And whatever Jesus puts in your hand, open your hand and help somebody. We're blessed by God to be a blessing to others. That's the heart of our communion. That's the heart of our relationship with God and one another in Jesus Christ.
A person's heartbeat serves as a sign of life. But when it comes to the church, what signs of life should we be looking for? Jesus answered that question for us during the last days of his life when he was speaking to his disciples. In John 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's hard enough to love the other people within your same church walls, but what about when it comes to other churches? Does Jesus truly expect us to love them too? What if they act, dress, or look differently than we do? The world is watching, and they don't care if you're wearing a suit and a tie or shorts and flip-flops. What they're going to see is the love, or lack of love, between us. Together, we make up the body of Christ. Are you exhibiting this sign of life for the world to see? It's been great to spend time with you today. We're so glad you've chosen to spend your time this way. When the world sees you loving others within the body of Christ, they're going to start asking questions. Be ready with our evangelizing tool, Something Missing. You can find it online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. Burning Hearts is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. On our website, you can learn about us and where to find our live stream services. Well, it's been great. We'll see you here again next time on Burning Hearts.